again. How great is our God. How great is our God. It's great. How great. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's why we are here, because we want to see the greatness of our God. God is great. God is good. Amen. All the time. Has it been good to you this week? Great. No complaints? Nobody's going to listen to you anyway, so I might as well not complain. That's what happened to me. After many years, I understand that don't need to complain. Nobody cares anyway. No. Anyway, it is nice to be here tonight. It's always nice to be in the house of the Lord. This is the only place that I'd rather be when it's open. It's in the house of the Lord. There's no other place like this place that we can come together. Thank you, musicians. Can come together and experience the presence of God, filled with His love, with His kindness. I mean, where are you going to get this kind of deal? And it's free. He will heal you. You don't have to go to a doctor and get $40 and then, you know, free. Only thing you have to do is just surrender your life to Him. It's free, but it's going to cost you your life. Surrender your life. But it's a good deal anyway. Listen, even if there's no God, still, this is the only way to live. Perfect. You know, like that guy that wrote that Lost Paradise, Dante, he says, even if it wasn't a God, still, it's the best way to live. Amen. And he said, even if it's not a God, it's not a waste of time to live this kind of way. Amen. But if there is a God and you don't do it, then you lost. But if it's not a God, I don't lose. Because I have been, you know, all these years, His benefits are so great. Hallelujah. He touched me, He healed me, He keeps me, He protects me, He do all things for me. Hallelujah. So even if there's no God, I'm still Amen. Come ahead. Amen. Amen. There's no other way to live. Hallelujah. So let's pray for our brother. Pastor, make sure he gets refreshed. And then pray for his protection, whatever he's at. That God will cover him. And Jennifer, Sister Jennifer. And we ask you for Brother Andy. He has COVID. So let's pray for him, because, you know, we need your prayers. You know, the ministry needs your prayer. Amen. Because we are under attack. Because it's the pastor, you know, if Satan can scatter the pastor, well, the sheep will just scatter just as bad. So we are under attack. Every time we go anywhere, in any place, there's no guarantee what's going to happen out there. The only guarantee that I have is that God will protect me and see me through. Amen. So tonight we want to take a little subject. Why cry? Speak. Amen. Why complain? Speak. No, we don't need to cry out. The time to crying out is over. You know, when we used to be babies in this message, and when you came to the Lord, you could cry out. But there comes a time that you have to just win yourself and start speaking. See? What is the hook? Here we go. All right. So let us have a word of prayer. God, we lift our hearts. We lift our voices to you. We lift our praises, Father. And we want you to take tonight and take us to a new height, Father. That's why we came. We want to get closer and closer to you. We gather here together having fellowship around your word, Father, and the message of this hour. Speak to us tonight and declare your word to us. Once again, in Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to read one scripture here. So let me see if we get this going here. Joshua 10:14. Okay, here we go. And there was no day like that before, or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Let me give you a little background so we don't have to read, you know, all 14 verses or 20 verses. But what was going on in this time, there were five kings. And these five kings, between them, they control most of the south of Canaan land. But then Joshua moved in Gibeon. And he control Gibeon, and for these five kings, that was a threat. See, security. This guy moving into our, you know, side of town, and now he took a piece out there, and who knows what else he wants. So it became a threat, security threat to them. So they decided that they were going to get together and go after Gibeon. See, go after, and so he would not. You know, Joshua will not further expand his kingdom. Because God told him, it is your land. I have given it to you. See? And when you possess all the land, you can divide it among yourself. But Satan, that's how Satan is. He wants to stop the move of God, always. And with you guys too. We get to that in a minute. But God always wants to stop the move of God. So the five kings got together and said, let's go and fight against Joshua and the Israelite. So Joshua knew that this battle was going to be hard. This battle was going to be life or death. But God told him that he will be with him. He told him not to fear. I will be with you. And I already had given you the land and everything on that land. He says, be strong, says. Be courage, have courage. Because I have given you everything, even the enemy. So he had a word from the Lord. But still, he had to do a job. He has to go there and possess, you know, the land. Sometimes we think this is a picnic. It's not a picnic. We're going to have to battle all the way through, so we can possess our inheritance. We are not going to see it, and God is going to hand it to us, you know, well done, faithful servant. Well, what have we done? Nothing. We're going to have to fight. Fight for every step, every inch of the way. And fighting is not so bad. It is to keep it. Because what's good it is for you to fight and get something, and then later on, you lose it. See, fighting is just the first part. The second part is to keep it. Because Satan is not going to give up. So here's Joshua. And he had an assurance. God encouraged him. He had an assurance in the word of God. I will be with you all the way. So he knew that he wasn't going alone. He knew that victory was possible. Because he was not looking at his strength. He was not looking at his ability. He was looking at what God says. And God gave him a sure word. God cannot lie. So it doesn't matter what is the circumstance. It doesn't matter what's going on against you. God has a word for you. And Satan cannot, will not come on against our word. Once God speaks a word, it has to happen. I don't care what Satan says. Once God speaks, that word has to happen. It cannot come void. Amen? So here's Joshua. He gets into the battle, into the heat of the battle. And he's fighting. And he's winning because God told him, you will not lose. You will have your enemy. But then suddenly there were more than he thought there were. There were five kings and some other ones. I don't know how many, you know, people they had, but that's a lot of people when you have five kingdoms come together. So here's Joshua, and he just, in the heat of the battle, he's just moving on and winning and moving forward. And suddenly, he realizes, well, I don't have enough time to get rid of these guys. Right. You know, what am I going to do? Right. You know, he's the general. Right. See? And he's thinking ahead, you know. I know God says so, but I don't think I'm going to have time to do this. Right. And if I let him go now, it was getting late. Sun was going down. He said, they're going to go and regroup. They're going to eat. They're going to drink. They're going to file their, you know, knives. And they're going to get ammo. And they're going to refresh themselves. And it's going to be harder next day. Because he knew it was hard that day. But he knew he was going to win anyway. Sometimes things get hard. But don't look at the situation. Because sometimes it gets even harder. But sooner or later, we're going to have victory. Why? Because God's promised that we will have victory. Victory will become victorious. So like my brother was singing that song, what report are you looking at?
Amen.
Are you paying attention to what the devil lies, or are you thinking about what God says about you?
Amen.
Or what the devil says about you? See, we have to accept the report. And Joshua said he got the good report from God. So finally, we come to Joshua 10:14, and the only thing he could done, I mean, the only thing he could figure out was, well, if I stop the sun, you know, or stop the earth, I don't know which way. It's a lot of school in science talking about it. It wasn't not the sun, it was the earth. No, it was not the earth, it was the moon. Who knows? I don't know. I know that he needed time, and the Bible says he stopped the sun. He didn't stop the sun. But listen, God hearkened to a man's voice. And that hasn't happened, is it before or after? That never has happened. But it says, he came out with this strategy. And that is what's so plain, I can see, and so unique, that the Lord accepted his plan. I mean, you cannot tell God what to do. Something is not, you know, right here, but he did. He says, this is what I need. This is what we need to do. This is my plan. Lord, I need this. So it happens the same way. So the five kings were then kill, destroy, and Israel became victorious, and it continued that way. So Joshua, see, the Lord accepting his strategy, his battle strategy from a man. The Lord listened to a human being. You remember Moses? That he talked to God and said, God, how can you destroy all these people? You're going to do away. He said, God, I'm tired of this. They're always murmuring. They're always thinking and that. I'm just going to wipe them off and want to start with you again. Moses. And what did Moses says, and Brother Brown said it wasn't Moses, it was Jesus in Moses.
Yes.
You know, he says, please, how are you going to do that? What people are going to say? After you brought him out and went through all these, now you're going to kill him in the desert? I mean, this is a man reasoning with God. I know you're thinking, because who can reason with God? Who can tell God what to do? There's a way to do these things. And that is what I'm here for, to tell you today, that God has not changed. In Paradox 63081 says, because the Bible says here that I was never time before or since like it, that God hearkened to a voice of a man. You said, oh, if I know, we'd just live in those days. If I could live in those days, if I would see those days, you know. And that's the same thing I said to myself. Wow, when I was a child and I listened to all the stories on the Bible, you know, Daniel and David and Goliath and the four Hebrew children. And I was amazed. I said, so that's just for yesterday, you know. I haven't seen anything like that. I never heard nothing like that in my lifetime, at least. I went to be a minister in the Baptist church, and I still haven't seen anything. they talk a lot about the Bible. They know the Bible, but it was no vindication. And they talk about all these, the testimonies in the Old Testament, but it was no vindication. So I still haven't seen anything. All I heard was the word. Until I came into this message. You know, I started saying, where is God? What is the miracles? I mean, the Bible said that is supposed to happen, but where are they? So when I came into this message, things become a little bit more real to me. This Bible was a new Bible to me. And now I started seeing things. Things are starting changing now. See? And it was different. You know, that's what I tell you guys, and I will tell you, and I will repeat saying it. You know, sometimes we say, well, I like to live in the days of Jesus. I like to see the miracles. I like to see all the stuff, the healing, or this and that and the other, and the walking in the water and all these things. Well, you missed it. You were not there. But then, what I like to be in that upper room when they have in the last, and they were washing their feet. Okay, you were not there. But then, today, you have an opportunity to do some of those things. We have foot washing. That's one of the samples. And in foot washing, it's not me washing Henry's feet. It is Christ in me washing his feet. So you had an opportunity to relieve again what happened back then. You said, well, I like to live one of those moments. I like to experience that. That's a way to experience again what Jesus was doing. Because now it's Jesus in you doing the same thing he did 2,000 years ago. but I want to see this, and what is next, and blah, 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 and then what is the next revival? But the point I'm saying is that some people are kind of blind to what God is doing in these days. Listen, Brother Branham's theme was, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So how can you deny that he cannot do what he did with Joshua today? Because if he's not, then he's not the same yesterday, today. So what I'm saying is, I'm going to try to use the Bible and the message to prove to you that God is still listening to a man.
Amen.
That God still can listen to you.
Amen.
That you can even change his mind. Oh, it's impossible. Well, we go to the Old Testament. We know that a man did that. He says over here in Paradox again, he says, well, like I said in Hebrew, 3:8-13 says, yesterday and today and forever. So whatever he did yesterday, it is true today, and it will be forever. And I will prove it to you. Mark 11:23. For verily I said unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now you tell me, whoa, what a minute. God is nothing impossible for God. Or what about you? Oh, I cannot do that. That's impossible. Well, according to my Bibles, if you can believe in your heart, you can move a mountain. If that's physically or not, we're not going to argue that point. The thing is, any circumstances, anything in your life, any sin, besetting sin, anything, any sickness, anything, cancer, I don't care what it is that come into your life, you can move that mountain.
Yeah.
All you have to do is what? Speak. So if we're living under our privileges because we need to learn to what? What Joshua did.
Right.
Speak.
Right.
That's what Jesus told Moses. Moses, why cry? You've seen all these miracles. Everything that I have done through you, your hand, and look at. And now you're going to cry out. Speak. Whatever you have need, speak.
Amen.
paradox. Jesus said in St. Mark 11:24, and that's the one that we didn't read, but if you said to this mountain, be moved, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, that's what Joshua did. He believed that what he said, it could come to pass. And I see people that they can do the same thing today. He says, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass. You can have whatever you have said. It's still grace and paradox. It's down into our age. Brother Branham didn't leave it out there. He said it's here now into our age. It comes the time that we are in a speaking term with God. Paradox again. He says, now, yet being there, the writer that wrote the book of and said there never had been anything like it, the same God that stopped the sun said this in Mark 11:22. And he said, Jesus, when he was speaking about the tree, you know, we're talking about the fig tree, when he cursed the fig tree and it dried, he says, verily I said unto you, to the disciples, he said, if you shall say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have whatever you say. Now, it just wasn't for Joshua only. Okay, we're getting there. I'm not going to pull any punches. Here we are. That was not for Joshua only. I want you to know where you are standing and what authority you have. You can speak. And if you can believe. Brother Doug was talking about the authority the other day in one of his sermons. It wasn't only for Joshua. It was for any believer that can take God's word. You have any problem, any complaints? Are you in the line of duty? You are a soldier of God, in the army of God, and God has commanded you to move forward. There's nothing going to stop. Satan will try you. All you have to do is speak. He says, first you got to have the right motive. Now Brother Brown is saying, okay, we can do this. Oh, but this is not something that is going to happen. We have some things that we need to do. What I'm trying to say is, the promises has a condition. God is not going to give you a promise while we're sitting down doing nothing or just waiting for something. No. You want a promise? It has conditions. Salvation, life, eternal, that don't have no condition. He gave you that before the foundation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about promises. There are hard conditions. And one of the three conditions. First, you got to have the right motive. And then the right objective. And the right reason for it. Okay, so motive. Let's define what motive is. Reason for doing something. Now, listen closely. God being a Savior, it was necessary that He predestined a man who would require salvation in order to give Himself a reason and a purpose to be. If God has to have a reason and a purpose to do something, what about you and me? Motive is the reason why we do something. If you don't have no reason to come to church, you will not do it. You have to have a reason and a motive to come to church. You have to have a reason to live this kind of a life. You have to have a purpose. Without a purpose, you cannot foresee anything but what is around you. You cannot see further than your eyes because you need to see a purpose. God has to do it, and you and I, we have to do it. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Okay, rain is coming. It says, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. You need a purpose of being. You need a motive, a reason. It is your reason. Be holy without blame before him. That's why he predestined you and me. See? Having predestined us unto adoption, children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to good, to his good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Another reason. So he can receive all the glory. Amen. We are here because we want to bring glory to God. Amen. And he predestined us. So our purpose was that everything that we do, it bring glory to God. Amen. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches in his grace, wherein our heart abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. So we need a motive. I need a motive to motivate me. Some of you, you know, need to be motivated. Even at work, I got to be motivated. So what do? They say, well, we're going to give you a position and we're going to give you more money. That's a motivation to do more. But you have to earn that. They're not going to give it to you. You know, some people say, boy, I deserve this and I deserve that and I deserve the other. Boy, start doing it. When they say you're doing it, they might decide to say, wow, man, we cannot do, you know, with that guy. He's a hard worker. I mean, he's doing even more than 110%. He's doing what we tell him to do and more. He's taking more. Let's promote him to a manager. See? So we need a motive. Second, he says, an objective. You have to have a goal, something that you are aiming for. Because if you're not aiming for anything, you don't hit anything. See, we need to have an aim. We have to have an objective. We have to have a goal. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. That's the next verse. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. What is my aim? To receive a crown of life. I don't want no crown. I think I will have a crown and I'm going to toss it at him in that day. You know? But we have to work. We have to have a motive. We have to have an objective. And my objective is to get the crown of life that he paid for, he died for, so I could live and have eternal life. See, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So my motive is, and my purpose and my reason for being is to bring glory and honor to his name, to be obedient to his word. Everything that he desires is my desire. Second, my only goal is, an objective is, to make it that day. And he will say, you know, come in, faithful servant, because I put you for thing small, and now you can have all this. I want to hear those words. See? Brother Brown says, the last one is reason. Reason means justification for an action or event. You have to do something, but you have to justify what you're doing. Whatever action, it has to be justified. Now, Brother Brown says here, Luke 10:29 says, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, talking about when Jesus, they asked a question to Jesus, and the Pharisees asked him, you know, who is your neighbor? And who is my neighbor? Now, because he says he tried to justify himself, you see? He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God elect? It is God that justifies. See, you cannot justify yourself. Reason is that you're justifying your actions. And the only action that I can justify is his actions. His will. Doing his will. He said, Brother Brown says here in paradox. Now, the first thing I had to say, well, if I go over there, this side can only pay me so much a month, Or if I can go over there, see, my motive is not right. Because his motive is money.
Right.
See? My objective is not right. No. Well, when I said, no, I don't care about the money. But when I get over there, something, and the ages to come, they will put me in a great big monument. See, man wants it is money, glory, or reputation. See? That's what the three things attacks most of the ministry. Money and women. Let's not leave money on women's. Reputation. And they want to be glorified in themselves. It says, the ages to come, they will put in a great big monument and say, Brother Branham, what a great missionary. That still, my motives is not right. Our money is not to bring glory to ourselves. Our money is not because I want to, you know, so people say that I got a good reputation. You know, I don't come to church. So you can say, well, the brother has a good, you know, reputation. He never missed church. That's not going to do it when I get there. My motive is not to have a good reputation and people talk good about me, because if I miss, they're going to talk bad about me. No, I have to uphold my reputation. It has nothing to do with that. That's the wrong motive to come to church. You know, he says, then I still, not my motives. He says, but when I don't care, he says, who goes or who comes or who do, he says, ever know who went over there or not, he's just in my heart. See, when God is in your heart and God directs your steps, he called you, he guides you, he leads you, and he shows you things to come. Now, when that is in your heart, you can do everything that is in your heart, because he's going to bring it to pass. That is the right motive. To have the right motivation, to have a goal, and to be led by God. See? But it says, Luke 16:15, he said unto them, you are they which justify yourself before men. See? Some people like to do that. They want to come and look big and justify themselves. Look at how big of a pastor, or look at how big I am, look at how good of a preacher. Who cares? I'm not saying that I don't care. They probably cannot outpreach me. But it's the motive. It is the objectives that you're looking at. It is the spirit that things are being given out. See? He said, justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts. You cannot fool God. God knows your heart. You might fool me and you fool somebody, but you cannot fool God. God knows if you got the right motives and the right interests, that you have the right objectives, and that you are being justified by his word. He says, but the man says, paradox, and anything that you try to do within yourself, it is always worth to your what? Dishonor. When we try to do things ourselves in our ways, we bring dishonor to the work of God. He says, it worked to your disadvantage. So that means you think you're trying to get somewhere, you ain't getting anywhere. In fact, you're going backwards. See, how can you and me, us, can even figure out life itself? How can you just sit around and say, this is my plans, and this is what I'm going to do. Life is so complex that you cannot figure all the variables. And then, if that's not enough, you don't even know what the other people are, they are going to do. You got variables, they got variables, and then now it's to the 10 exponential. Because you don't know how they're going to respond. You think when you go over there, they're going to do this and this and that. You have it all figured out. And you justify that this is the way I got to do this. But it will be to your disadvantage. Just simply believe God, and that settles it. If this is hard, I mean, how simple can this get? It is harder to try to figure it out and to reason something than it is to believe God. In fact, that's what I said about some of these denominations out there, Jehovah's Witnesses and blah, 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 blah. I'm not against them. But they have more faith than I have, because they had to go through all this. And they justified they had to do this, this, this. And they had to do all this work. And the more work, you know, the more you get closer to your goal, I mean, it takes more faith to do all that than just sitting down and say, I believe God. That's simple. Well, we don't need to make it difficult. See, it says, God, and that settles it. What God promised, I am the Lord thy God who heal all thy diseases. You see, if there's any among you sick, let them call the elders of the church, because he promised that. That is all. You start praying, you start talking to God, and you say, God, you said. You remind God, this is what you said, and this is what I need. And you think God is going to say, sorry, I cannot do that for you. He did it for. He cannot fail. If you believe in your heart and believe God and his word, it has to happen. Now, it might take a week. It might take 2 weeks. I don't know. It could be a miracle. It happened instantly. Look at that man that Brother Branham prayed out there. I think it was in Canada. And he was blind. And then he says, you heal. And he says, I receive it. And he went to work. He used to sell papers in the corner. And he was just throwing the paper, extra, extra, extra. Read all about it. I'm healed. First day went by. Second day went by. I don't know when. But if you believe, God will test you. God will test your faith to see if you really believe the word of God. Now, you claiming, I need this. Okay, let's see how much you want it. He kept going. He didn't care. He never looked at the circumstances. He never said, I cannot see. He never even entertained the idea. That was Satan's idea. But he never entertained that report. He said, I can see. I can see. So he sit down 5 days after in the barber chair. And they wanted to mock him. And they wanted to, you know, ridicule him. And they says, hey, we heard that you went to this healer. And he prayed for you. And just before he finished his statement, the eyes come open. See, God cannot lie. If you believe God and you have a need, I don't know when, I don't know how, I know one thing. It has to happen. You want your children, I don't know when, I don't know how, you just claim them. They are yours. You have a serious situation, condition, disease, just claim it. Ask God. God, you promised me. You heal all my diseases. God, and I want to go to church, and I want to serve you, and I want to be a good testimony to others that you are a healer. I cannot do it when I'm sick. But it's all a test. Because he's going to show that he is the healer. And that is the purpose you are here. So God can show that his word is true. See, God could do it himself and send angels, and he would have came down the cross. But God decided to use a human being to show that God is real. See? And that's your purpose. How can God show that he's the healer if we are sick and we don't take him at his word? You cannot even testify to your friends, God is good. God is awesome. He's faithful. He take care of me. He provide for me when we are complaining that the economy is real bad and I'm not getting no money now to buy whatever I need. Things are getting hard, costly. You know, God says he will provide. And he will provide. How? I don't know. When? I don't know. But I'm here so I can be a testimony that God lives and his word is true. Satan wants to stop that. But see, we go forward. Faith. I want to add one more thing to these three elements. Motive, reason, objective. If you have all those three and you don't have faith, then those other three don't mean anything. Because sometimes we do believe. Sometimes we say, yeah, that's what the word says. Yeah, I got a reason. Yes, I got a good reason. The Bible, I read it. It justified me. Yes. But without faith, those things are void. But the man said, but faith is, now, faith is the substance. Faith is the assurance. See? Faith is just like having an insurance that when you get in trouble, they will fix it. All you have to do is call. You get in a car accident, you call the insurance. You don't have to worry. Oh, don't worry. No, that's right. I got insurance. See? But Brother Brown says, I don't have an insurance. I have an assurance. Because my faith, I have an assurance. I have a confirmation, see, that he's going to do this for me. I believe that. You know, he gave me a title deed, and that title deed is clear completely. There's no claims on that title deed. So he said, I give you, you know, your family, your inheritance. And when you leave here, we take everything that belongs to us. I got a clear deed. It's mine. My family is mine. This body belongs to him, not the flesh. But we're talking about what he put in us. That's it. And I have a title deed that proves that that house belongs to me. And if Satan comes in the house and trying to create problems, I got the right to call the police and get him out. I got a clear title that that house is mine. Jesus paid for that. And clear my title deed. It came back to me. He cleared all the way to heaven. So that's what my faith is. My faith is a substance that I know, that I know, that I know is mine. Every word in the Bible is mine. Why? I believe it by faith. Because he says so. Of the things hoped for. See? Faith is the thing that prove, you know, that prove that all those things are mine. See? All those things that I'm hoping for is the evidence, he said, of things not seen. See? It's the reality. See? It's the reality of those things that you cannot see, that your mind cannot see, that the world cannot see, but you can see it. Why? Because your faith tells you that's mine. My health is mine because I want to serve the Lord. My voice is mine. I want to sing praises to the Lord. My car is mine and don't even touch it. I need to come to church. That's mine. My family is mine. See? And that is my reality. And that's what faith do. Faith made me perceive that everything is real. Listen, this is not a little phony God that we believe in, a Santa Claus. This is a real God. And we have a real world that we are going to go. We are not dreaming of some fantasy, you know. So it's a reality. And if you cannot perceive the reality of God's word, you will never be coming to it. You have to know that you know, that the word of God is more real than this world that you can see. The word of God is more real than what you think is out there. See, the world is more real than the doctor when he tells you, I can do nothing for you, you got cancer and you die. That is his reality. That is not my reality. My reality is God is my healer. That's my report. That's the doctor's report. But I got a reality that God exists and he's true. Brother Brown says, but that takes motive and objectives. Of course, you got to have a reason. You cannot have faith unless you got a reason. It's just like sometimes the boys tell me, you know, my grandchildren, I want to do this. And I ask why. What's the reason you want to do that? Because if you don't have no reason to do it, then it might get done, it might not get done. You have to have a reason. See? You have to have a reason. It says, unless you got a reason. As I tried to say last night, some people's faith is in the textbooks. Some people's faith is in something else. But depends on where your faith is looking at. Where is your reason for your faith? He says, not in the textbook, not in who said, not what anybody says, not what somebody think it's interpretation of this or that, but it's just what he says. He says, but depends on where your faith is. I want to believe God's word. What he says is true. Then if I got to see whether it is his will or not, then if it's his will, I got to check out my objectives. See? To it. And then my motives is to do it. Doing it. So we got to check your objective with the word of God. If this is the will of God. If this line up what I want, if this line up with the word. If you do, then he says, then your motive is right. Then you have faith. Then you can do it. Matthew 16, 17, 18, he says, and this sign shall follow them that believe. Now you tell me, well, I wanted to be like Joshua. I want to stop the sun. Oh, we cannot do that. That's impossible. But the Bible says that nothing is impossible for you. Now, the Bible says, for God is nothing impossible. But the Bible says, for those that believe, nothing is impossible. So you in the same level. So don't tell me we cannot do that today or tomorrow. It says, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents and they will drink deadly things. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But the brother said here in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be what? Impossible. But for you, for Yahshua was not impossible. And for you, nothing is impossible. If you can believe and your motives are right, your faith is in the right faith, your objectives and your goals are right. Brother Van says, Joshua stopped the sun. Is that the truth? Somebody says, all things are possible with God. Nothing impossible, but all things are possible to you also. You can tell that devil to move. He has to move. If there's something in your way that you cannot, you know, fulfill the word of God, all you have to say is move. That's all. But you got to believe that. He says, all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible, but all things are possible to you also. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. So what is your problem then? What is the problem? Why we have so much hard time in our life with things, circumstances and situations? Why? When nothing is impossible for you. You need a job? Speak. You need to eat? God knows you need to eat. God knows that you need to dress. God knows what your needs are. All you have to do is just speak to God. Speak to the situation. He says, all things are possible. Brought right down and made you. If you just know who God was. Well, I'm afraid that the church doesn't know their authority. See? That God has permitted to his church. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind in earth, you will bind in heaven. You see the authority that you have? He says, whatever you lose will be loose. It gives you power over serpents and over the kind of diseases. You don't need to cry out that you're sick. You need to cry out to God that, you know, I got power over diseases. You got the Holy Ghost? Then you got power. You get power over serpents, over kind of diseases, everything, and nothing shall harm you. Amen. Exercise your faith, he says. Let it loose. He said, let God have his way. God will grant it to you. It should not be a feeble person coming out of this service tonight. There should not be a person with any kind of problems. There should be not one here with any worries. what's going to happen if we just take God at his word and believe God and speak it. God knows what you need. But if you don't voice it, he wants to do his will in heaven as in earth. But if you don't voice it, if you don't speak his will for yourself in here, huh, who else is going to do it? Mark 11:24. Therefore, I said unto you, what things soever you desire. I mean, we can go through the whole Bible. We should be the most happy and most healthy group in this world. This is message. Because we have power given to us. He said, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. My desire is his desire. You know, he will give me that desire. He said, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you shall what? What do you want tonight? As long as you have the right motive, the right objective, and the right reason, you can have it. If you have faith to believe it. But I cannot get this thing, this spirit or whatever, this besetting sin. I cannot help this and that. What? That's the wrong report. You're talking the devil talk. Why don't you say it? You know, I have the power. See? Because my desire is to live for him and to live the right life and to walk the right walk and to do and to say the right things. God understands that. Mark 18:19. Again, I said unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth touching anything, that don't leave nothing out. He says, that they shall ask, it shall be done to them in my Father which is in heaven. And I can go on and on and on. I can go and I can stay all night telling you that you have authority and you have power and you have the word of God near to thee in your tongue. And it, depending how you use it, it could be a blessing or it could be dead. You have power in your tongue, in the spoken word, if you can believe it. But the man says, okay, you said, that was a long time ago, Joshua. But he said, I want you to listen. That is when? Right here, right now. You want the Holy Ghost? You know when you get the Holy Ghost? When you really want the Holy Ghost. Because God is not, you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. See? Well, God, I need this, I need that, and I'm, you know, I know nothing is impossible for you, but what about you? Nothing is impossible for you. The day that you really, really, really want the Holy Ghost, you get it. Oh, that's too simple, brother Eli. Well, that's what happened to me. I speak by experience. I was a Baptist minister. Somebody invited me to one of the meetings at Brother Green, the yearly meetings. They have the 18th of December to the 25th, 24th, whatever. Never been in a message church. Somebody invited me, so I went. They've been talking to me for a while. So I decided to go and visit. And then they sent me way in the front, in the right side, in the first pew. I mean, I had front view of everything. I'm glad because if I would have been in the back, everything would have distracted me. I saw all these people, long faces and long hair and long faces and long hair and long dresses. And I said, wow. What I'm got myself into. But anyway, I was looking for something. I didn't care who was looking. I don't even care where I was at. I just needed something. So they sent me way in the front because I went by myself. I told my wife, you know, I'm going. So I went. I sat there. I not even know who preached that day. I think it was brother from Flagstaff. I don't know if he's still alive. Short white-headed. I don't even remember. I didn't even know those people. And he preached a sermon. At the end of the sermon, he says, how many want the Holy Ghost? So my hand went up. I didn't reason it. I did not try to figure it out. I know I had a need. And I don't have to figure anything out. He said that he will give me the Holy Ghost because as a Baptist, I read the scripture. I know he wanted to. I just needed it. And I desire to have it. So I had the right motive. I wanted to see God in action that I don't see in the baptism. I had the right objective. So when I went to church, I didn't know what was preached. I don't understand message. I don't know what happened. He said, "You want the Holy Ghost?" I don't know how many hands went up, but he said, "Bow your head and close your eyes." I don't know who else. That night, when I walked out, nothing happened yet. But when I got up and walked all the way outside, I was floating in air. And I said, "What's this?" You know, never experienced nothing like that. But I wanted the Holy Ghost then, now. That's what I wanted. That's what I went for. What did you come to the service for? What is your reason to come to the service? What is your motive? What is your objective? What is your expectation when you come to the service? That's what you're going to get. And I went with the right expectation, the right motive, the right reasons. So I walk outside and suddenly, let me say this, and anyway, I was my past life. I used to drink. I wasn't a drunkard, but I used to drink. Sometimes I get a little bit more than less, anyway. But I knew what wine would do to you. I know what, how it feels, you know, when you are under the influence of alcohol. Happens to me when I walked outside. I was in the influence, not of alcohol, but I didn't know I was the influence of the Holy Ghost. But what do I know? So everything looks shiny and bright, and I'm floating in there, you know, like I just finished drinking, you know. But I said, I hadn't even had a drink in I don't know how long. I was a Baptist minister. I said, wow. So I get in my car, and it took me 2 hours to find my house. You know, when a drunk gets drunk, I got lost. Midnight, you know, I got out of the same thing. At midnight, finally, I found my house. Now, to get the key into the little hole, that was another thing. I never felt that way. But I knew something happens. Because I understood that scripture that said, do not be drunk with wine. Because it's a dissipation or something like that. But be filled with the Holy Ghost. I studied that in the Bible. And God showed me that scripture. It came to life. How many scriptures do you need to come to life to believe God? All you need is one. How many messages do you need to believe God? I need one to believe this message. I just needed one scripture to come to life in my life. And that was it. I preached it. Suddenly it came alive. Got in the house, got in bed, and I'm not the same since then. I had to leave everything. Glad I left everything, my friends, church, ministry. I had a church, new church was mine. Had everything that was given to me. I mean, but this was more important than that. This is what I was looking for. This was what satisfied my soul. He says, you have the right motive and objective. It's right that God, today, the same God, Jesus said in Mark 11:22, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that you have said will come to pass, you can have what you said. That's divine nature. You know you have the power to defy nature. When Jesus walked on water, he defied nature. But that didn't stop with Jesus. Peter says, beg me to come. This is a man. Boys asking, can you beg me to come? He says, yeah, you be come on. He defied nature until he got worried about the wind and the waves. But that's another story for another day. But he defied nature. He didn't have to wait. Oh, Peter didn't say, that's impossible. Everything is possible to you, Jesus. We know you do all this. You raise the dead. You do. But for me, yeah, it's possible. If you can believe, get up and walk. And he did. To prove to you and me that for you, things are possible. Even if it goes against nature. You know what? God is the only one that can create. But I'm going to get to you. At the end, I'm going to give you a little thing on that one. Let's continue. Very verily I said unto you, he that believe on me, The works that I do, shall he do also. That's Jesus talking. And greater works that thee shall he do, because I go to my Father. Let me explain something here to you. The word greater. What is greater than what Jesus done? What's greater? Let me tell you what's greater. I know Brother Van says more, but the Bible says greater. Now, when Jesus multiplied the fish, he did not create fishes. He broke them and they multiplied. He broke the bread and that did four. Broke it again and did four more. Eight, 32, 64, 128. The more you break, the more they come another unit. He did not create. He multiplied something that was already created. When he turned the water into wine, he did not create wine. The water was already created. He just spoke to it and it became wine. That's not creating. That's doing something from something that is already created. You understand what I'm saying? So, Jesus did all these miracles. You know, he healed the sick and he, the paralytic. But that's something that God already created. He just made it better. Not better, but he made it whole, like it's supposed to be. However, here's my point, and I can continue. Greater means to create. Greater than multiplying. Greater than just fixing something. Greater than that is what? To create. Listen to me. What is greater, to fix a car or create one? Yeah, to create one. Well, it says over here, and greater work than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. One more thing. What is the only thing that Satan cannot do? That is the greater thing. That is the greater thing than everything else. Than healing, than doing all these things. Now, Satan wanted to, but he can create. But the bride, listen what it says here. Now, remember this. Christ, you know this has been quoted so many times. Christ is the true church, is a continuation of the book of Acts. Now, the book of Acts, many things happened, more than just miracles and more than just a wonder. There were some things created. He said, the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation show how the Antichrist spirit will come into the church and defile it. See? Satan wants to stop it. He don't want that to happen. He don't want you to know who you are, and what you can do. Because if he keep you there, then he's fine. But he says, Revelation, the Antichrist spirit will come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm. He says, you know what lukewarm means? Not here, not there, not hot, not cold, not anywhere. That's the worst place to be. You know, are you a Christian or not? Are you drunk or are you sober? You cannot be both, either one or the other one. But some people did a lot between this and that, this and that. Never make their mind. Are you in or you out? Are you a Christian or not? We just got to, you know, make the statement where we are. It says, making lukewarm, former, and powerless. So they had no power. See? It says, and expose Satan, revealing his work that attempt the destruction of God's people and the discerning of God's words. That's what he wants. He wants to stop. He don't want you to recognize who you are. Because the day you know who you are and what you are, it's gone. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. God's people and the discerning of God were right down to the time that he cast him into the lake of fire. He's not going to stop until he's completely out of here. He said, he fights that. See? How do he fight that? Well, trying to fight the word of God, his people. You know, he cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for and that she can do the greater works. She will be an invincible army. Joshua, an invincible army, because she can do greater works. But the brother did not ask for the squirrels. The squirrel, even though there were squirrels around, those were created. And that was the last thing. And you know, the last thing we're waiting for, that we get out of our behinds, stand in the word of God, and speak our body change. You know that you're going to have to do that. You know that you're going to have to change your own body. God is not going to come and say, "What you done? You done?" No, there's enough power in you to change you. But that power has to come through your voice. You have to voice the word of God in your life. She can do the greatest work. She will be an invincible army. See? Greater. Greater. It says, if they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the church, two spirits, two reports. See? And by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist, this is what's going to happen. It's going to go. It's going to come a time, and this is the time. That's what I'm preaching. This is the time that Satan will have no more, you know, said, and no more with you or me. You know how that's going to happen? You're going to have to possess the gate of the enemy. What is the gate of the enemy? The mind. Satan has the gate, but you are the gatekeeper. See? So when Satan comes to you and tempt you, God will allow it. But you are the keeper of your gate, and you don't let that come into you. See, Satan going to be angry. Because Satan will try, and nothing works. Why? Because you are not allowing, you know, Satan to have any preeminence, even in your thought. The thought will come. He will come and tell you, you are this, and will tempt you with this, and tempt you with that. But, you know, your mind, the gate is closed, and you don't even pay attention to him. Lately, you know, that's what I do. When Satan comes and starts tempting me, I say, well, I don't want to hear. You know, I cannot stop the thoughts. They're going to come, but I don't have to pay attention to the thoughts. In fact, the problem with Eve was that she talked to and reasoned with what? With Satan, with the serpent. You don't need to reason with him. You don't need to talk to him. You don't need to entertain anything. All you have to do is just close the gate and adios. You know, bye. And the more you do that, the more he get frustrated. And the more he get, disillusioned. I tried. Nothing works. And we got to get to the point where we need to possess the gate of our enemy. And not allow him a word, one word. Let him talk, let him talk, because sooner or later, when you resist him, he has to, because he figure, this guy don't want to talk to me. And we will get to the point that we not entertain Satan, he will go. Resist the devil. But if we stand there like Eve and reason with him, you know what's going to happen? You cannot reason with Satan. You know, he studied you too long. He knows what makes you, tick. And if you allow him to get that far, he will poke you in the right place. So he says, the true revelation in our life, the gate of hell cannot prevail against us. The gate to our hearts. Amen. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and if that not yet appears what we shall be, but know that, when he shall appear. Now appear is different than the coming of the Lord. Appear is when he appears in you. See, because you're giving birth to Christ. See, he will possess you completely. And that's what he wants, and that's my desire. And one of these days, it won't be me talking any longer. It will be my voice, it will be my hands, it will be my feet, but he will be fully in control. That's my desire, that he use me, use my voice completely. For we shall see him as he is. Now, 1 John 4:17 says, here is our love made perfect. You know, without perfect love, we're not going to make it. You know, that's what Brother Brown says. But this is where you get perfect love, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are. So are we in this world. So are you him or not? As he is in heaven, you are here. Amen. You are Christ, Messiah. But I don't know if I can do what Christ did. No, greater things you will do. One of these days, I don't know if it comes to this, you need to eat and there's no food, you can speak it. Whatever you have need, you can speak it. Because you are a Messiah, small Messiah. You know, and as he is in heaven, you are in earth. And what he is in heaven, he's a word. And you become incarnated, Jesus back incarnated in flesh. Like he was in Jesus, it comes the time that he will appear completely, fully. You will be possessed by his Holy Spirit, by his life. So then at that time, it's no longer me, but God that lives in me. Amen. Let us stand. Let us pray. Brother Branham says here, he veils himself today in earth vessels. The outside looks like a bunch of holy rollers, all badger skins, but the inside of us, he hides in this veil of flesh. He hides in this veil of flesh. And we can go beyond the veil. We can see Christ in plain view. Today, God is acting in and through men as he did in Jesus. He's acting now through the bride that he has chosen. God in bride form, fulfilling the purpose that he had before the foundation of the world, redeeming his children, and nothing will stop this plan of redemption, because she has, thus says the Lord, and she knows what to do with it. The bride is God in flesh again. It might sound like a not case, you know, to the world, but God is fulfilling his purpose of having a bride without wrinkle, without spot, holy, virtuous bride. Do you believe that that is what God is doing? Then that's what I want to be. I want God to take over. I want God with his Holy Spirit to possess me completely. I want God to appear in my flesh. I want God to continue the word that he started in Jesus Christ. What? Heal the sick. The blind was saw. The paralytic walked. He raised the dead. And we've seen all this done in our age. This is not something that we are dreaming about it. This is something that is not fiction. We've seen it. God sent a prophet. And he brought him from being nobody, nothing like you and me, and brought him to what? To be an adopted son of God with a word. With that said the Lord. You know, that was not just for Joshua. That was not only for Brother Branham. That is for you today. He was the first fruit, but you are the fruit that will follow. God said it, and it will happen. And I want to be and you are, and I'm seeing the chosen people that he has chosen before the foundation of the world to do this work. So let us surrender our life to him and let him finish the work that he started. Little Messiah, again, Christ, again. We thank you, Father, for this moment. Thank you for this time. We thank you for this congregation. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have once again to sit at your feet and let us teach us those things that we have need of. Father, we know that the time is near, Father, and this word cannot fail. You said it will produce a bride. You said it will produce you in flesh once again. Father, I believe it. Just do, Father, as Mary said, do unto me as you have said, Father. Father, our desire is to do your will in this earth. Father, we want to surrender our life to you. We want to completely, Father, let you have control, Father, of our minds, our body, our soul. Father, I want you to take over, Father, this congregation, Father. Father, Brother Brown says the only place that they're going to see God is in you and me. God could have done it different. God could have sent angels. God could have come himself. But now he chose you and you and you so he can show the world that he's real, that he exists, that he's not a dead God, but he's a real God. And is still enthroned and is still doing the things that he did, he created. He sustained. He gave us life. He made our need. He's still God today. And the only place they're going to see it is on you and me. And we need to surrender our life and let God finish the work that he started. God is going to, one of these days, he's going to come and he's going to display the bride. One of these days when all is said and done, the smoke disappears, and the last sermon is preached, he's going to display it, and he's going to say, there, that's what I was talking about. That's what I was talking about. And people are going to look and say, whoa, what happened to the rapture? I thought we supposed, and but it happens. Because there's a people that he called, and there's a people that he chose, there's a people that he predestined, there's a people that he's leading today and guiding to the Holy Ghost that he has chosen before the foundation for that purpose, to show that God is real and forever his word is true word. But there has to be somebody to believe that. And if we came from him, we are going to believe it. Father, do unto us, Father, you started the work. You will finish it. Not by might, not by power, but by your Holy Ghost. Finish the work that you started in us. Father, that's my desire, to bring glory and honor to thy name. To witness, to be a witness that your word is true. I will be like a written epistle, a written Bible. Everything that I do is going to be like written in the Bible. Even if it's at work, I'll be the best worker. If I'm at home, I will be the best husband according to the word of God. They want to see, if they want to see what a woman should act and do, they will see a written epistle. This is what God meant. What a good husband, a good wife, a good children. We will be the word of God in display. God wanted to do that, and he chose you and me. It's an honor. It's an honor to be called to do God's bidding. There's no higher purpose in life but to be what he wants us to be. And we thank you, Lord. And we ask you all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.